He is risen. Never get tired of that. All right, our first scripture reading for this Easter Sunday comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9, which can be found, I believe, on page 652 of your pew Bible. In this scripture, the prophet Isaiah foretells of a celebration that will happen when salvation comes to the earth. This salvation is found in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us read. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. And it will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Here ends the first scripture reading.
It's Easter. He is alive, and because of that, we can gather today and say, as you have said so many times, but like David said, it never does get old, we can say he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
A friend of mine told me about a little girl in his congregation who was given the homework assignment of having to write about a historical figure. So he went home, and she went home, the little girl did, and she didn't know who to write about, and she was perplexed, and her mom, trying to give her a good example, said, well, why don't you write about Jesus? And she got a frown on her face and said, but mom, a historical figure is someone who's dead, and Jesus isn't dead. He is alive. He is alive. We had a powerful Good Friday service this past week. We left in solemn silence, recognizing that Jesus indeed had died on Good Friday. That was a reality that hit us strong. And then yesterday morning, we gathered early in the morning, and we had over 175 children and even more family members present for our Easter egg hunt. And I thought, what a contrast. How appropriate, though, that these voices of laughter yesterday were a sign for us of the anticipation, this period of waiting for Christ's resurrection. And he has been raised from the dead. So brothers and sisters, the waiting's over. It is over. He is risen. We've been following the Gospel of Mark throughout Holy Week. Actually, we've been following the Gospel of Mark throughout all of Lent. And I believe you have to finish what you started. So we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark today also for Resurrection Sunday. Remember, we have talked about Mark as someone who's all about the details and the preparations, and he lays out a story in his gospel that things go according to plan. Things go just as God had them scripted in many ways, even from the Old Testament to when Jesus came upon the earth. So we have this figure of Jesus who is fulfilling Scripture day after day. With every word that he speaks, with every action that he takes, he's fulfilling that Old Testament scripture that he is the Messiah, the Savior who has come to save the world. And so things do go according as planned. And this morning, just when we think everything is over, just when Joseph of Arimathea had buried Jesus, shut the tomb, and gone home, guess what? The story starts all over again this morning. Mark always has something that draws our attention. And today, these first evangelists, these first missionaries, these first pastors who get to the tomb, they are filled with fear when they recognize what has happened. And usually, when we say that someone is filled with the fear of God, we think that's a good thing. Today, we're going to learn about something different. I'm going to submit to you today that just as the women are paralyzed by fear but motivated by love, today God wants to take the fear of God out of us so that we can be motivated to go and follow the eternal Savior out of love, not out of fear. I know there was a time in my life when I was a child when I walked down the aisle and accepted Jesus Christ because the guy up front said, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going, well, to that other place. I'm not even going to say that word on Easter Sunday, but you know what I mean. And so I walked down because I was terrified. I'm thankful that I had loving Christian parents who straightened me out and told me that God does not want us to be afraid of Him. God wants us to love Him. And we follow God not out of fear, but out of love. And today we're going to see the effect that fear plays on us, that we should never, ever be fearful for our salvation, never be fearful for someone else's salvation, but rather we have to be motivated strictly by the love of God that's manifested to us in the resurrection. So let's look at Mark and see his details and see what he gives us while we try to take the fear of God out of us and replace it with the love of Christ Jesus. Turn now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight on this Easter Sunday. For you continue to be our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this past week, we ended the week with the disciples of Jesus making preparations for him. So as I look out into the congregation today, I see some of you haven't really walked alongside of us during the whole Lenten journey. So when you get home today, you have some homework, and that is to read from the Gospel of Mark chapter 14 all the way to the end. Will y'all do that? Yeah, you're laughing. I'm serious. They're laughing. Read the Gospel of Mark just so that you can put it within the context where you find it. You find the disciples consistently making preparations for our Savior. Palm Sunday, go and get a donkey. They go and get it. Remember Monday, Thursday, go prepare a room for me. They go and prepare it. In the Gospel of John, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, "Take care of my mother." And the disciples take care of Mary. But this morning, early in the morning, the Gospel of Mark tells us, the preparations are just about over. Jesus is dead, and he had to be given a decent burial. Last evening, the women went out to get some spices, to get some something to not embalm the body, but to give it some final respects. And these final preparations for their Savior, they do without anyone telling them to do it. They just go on their own initiative. But there's a problem. Did you notice what was on front and center of their minds as they're making their way to the tomb this morning. If you look at verse 3, there's a problem that comes up. And it seems like it's what they can only think about. Who's going to roll the stone away for us once we get to the tomb? So the tombs back in the first century, even if you go today, you can see them. They were caves, and they would have these large round rocks, and they would go on tracks, and the rocks would then be rolled over the entrance of the tomb. And once that happened, they were sealed, and they would not be able to be moved. So who's going to move that stone away from the entrance of the cave? And it seems like a small issue, especially when their Savior has just died, but it was the only way that they were going to be able to get into the tomb, was if someone came and helped them do it. But I think there's another reason that it was on their minds. It's been found that the stones, sometimes when they were rolled away from the entrance, guess what would happen? They would roll back. And then the women would be in there by themselves. And I don't know about you, but that's enough to terrify me. That's enough to make me scared. Who's going to roll that stone away? And who's going to make sure it's rolled away so that when we're in there preparing the body of our beloved Jesus, who's going to make sure we're not going to get caught in there? And they couldn't seem to see their way around that problem. You know what it's like when you have a burden, an issue in your life, a heavy stone that has worried you, that you've prayed about, and all of a sudden it seems like it's the only thing that matters in your life. Someone else maybe from the outside could be looking in and think, you know, it's not that big of a deal, you'll figure it out, but for you it's the only thing that matters. And what we find is that God has an answer to immovable stones. It will never move through earthly means. And we keep asking, how will we move and how will we be freed from this heavy stone? Sometimes they are moved by earthquakes. Remember Matthew? That's how the stone rolled away. Oh, sometimes you just find yourself one day that the stone has been lifted, removed. And ultimately, when we do find that that stone is rolled away, once it is removed, it's no longer a dead end, but it opens into the empty tomb. It becomes a highway that leads to eternity. Do you notice what the women do when they see that the stone is rolled away? They go in. They go in right away. That's the next thing that we read in these verses. They look up and the stone is rolled away. And then in verse 5, we read, as they entered. There was no discussion. They just went in. And they find a man sitting on the right side of the tomb, the side of honor, wearing white, the colors of a martyr. And once they take all of this, Scripture says that they are amazed. They are amazed. Now, Scripture here says alarmed. There are different words for this Greek word, which is thambos, which means a state of astonishment due to both the suddenness and the unusualness of the phenomenon, and it can produce either a negative or a positive reaction. So they are amazed by what they find. And so it could go either in a positive or in a negative way. And we don't know at this part of Scripture how they're going to react to this amazement. We don't know what they're going to do in the midst of their fear. And the first thing that they are told by a messenger of God, it's not the first time we've heard it, is do not be afraid. How many times does God have to tell us not to be afraid when He reveals Himself to us? When He shows us His presence, His love, His miracles. You can go through all of Scripture, Abraham, Hagar, Isaac, Moses, Joshua, Mary, Joseph, all of the shepherds, they hear the same words, do not be afraid, every time that God appears to them. And it's a message that we get over and over again in the Bible, and yet we still hear people trying to put the fear of God in others to bring them to salvation. That's not the way we work. Jesus is the crucified and he is now the raised, says the young man. The Jesus of Lent and Good Friday now and forever will be the Jesus of Easter. He has been raised. He's not here. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And I'll prove it to you. Look, this is where they put him, is what that young man says. You can almost see the poor women as their amazement all of a sudden is trying to evolve into something else. They're trying to decide what their next step is going to be. And the young man is saying, listen, if you want to see Jesus, just remember what he told you. Remember that he told you that he was going to go to Galilee in Mark chapter 14, verse 28. It says, do not be afraid. Folks, what a message for the church. Fear causes us to look back and immerse ourselves in that which we know. The love of Christ causes us to look forward to the unknown, to the journey from here to Galilee that isn't always an easy journey. So when the church hears, do not be afraid, well then the resurrection gives our feet movement to walk away from the place of death toward the living raised Savior. And how many times in our own lives do we try to lay Christ back down in the tomb of our life? A tomb locked by fear, hoping Jesus will never really break out. The church has at times buried Christ in its own institutional way of doing things, or in fluffy, meaningless disorder. Theological statements have substituted living experience. Jesus has been imprisoned in stained glass windows, rich in color, but hardly alive. He's been buried and relegated to a book, fearful to be let loose in society, to break the bonds of oppression, to set the captives free, to declare that today, this resurrection day, is the day of liberty in our lives. That's the Jesus of the Bible. He's alive. He cannot be contained. He cannot be held with our own understanding. The young man tells them, go and tell Peter. And he uses Peter's specific name. Do you notice that? He calls them from the fishing boats at the beginning of their ministry. Go to Galilee where it all started. He calls Peter by name because he wants every single one of them who turned their backs on him to be rehabilitated. The family that had self-destructed was now being reconstructed by Jesus' actions upon the cross. Go to Galilee where it all began. Go to the place where he called you from your fishing nets to become fishers of men. So how do the women respond to this good news? Look at verse 8. They respond by leaving the tomb just as quickly as they came in. The scripture states that they went out and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Isn't it ironic that Mark, more than any other gospel writer, when Jesus heals, he tells people around him, now don't go telling people about this. Don't go telling people about this. But here you find a young man, tell him, go and tell the disciples. God is telling us today to go and tell. We have experienced and heard the good news that Christ is risen, and we can say he is risen indeed. He's rolled away the stones in our lives that we cannot get rid of by ourselves. Christ has told us to look for him ahead of us as he's creating all things new. And our challenge as we do that is to not be afraid, is to respond with good news and with joy. We need to hear God telling us over and over again, do not be afraid, love me because I loved you first. Allow that perfect love of the Son to be seen in the resurrection to cast out all your fear. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once stated that when Christ calls a person, he bids them to die. He bids them to die. Jesus said in Mark earlier, when that whole debate of who gets to sit at the right hand of Jesus, when the disciples were fighting over that, he says, those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. So let us go out into the world not with the fear of God in us, but rather with the love of God, which motivates us to live for Jesus and for those around us, with all of our stones rolled away. And let the church say, amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we do come before you today, and we give you thanks that you have rolled the stone away. You have allowed each and every one of us to be able to be touched by your saving presence. You have given us a new life. And so when we leave the church today, and God, it is Easter Sunday, and we celebrate your resurrection like no other Sunday. But help us to realize that Monday's also coming, and it's Easter Monday. Next Sunday is also coming, and next Sunday is also Easter Sunday. Every single day of our lives, help us to live as resurrected beings, as people who devote themselves to you in a way that we are dying unto ourselves and living for you. Thank you, Jesus, for having rolled that stone away and allowing us to live eternally. We pray this now in your holy name. Amen.